and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Day one of the conditional MCO, and many businesses and industries are back in operation, but not for every state. Some state governments have opted for state-specific conditions of loosening the MCO. However, at today's briefing, Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob stressed that Putrajaya's conditional MCO must apply to the whole country without exception. Here he is.
Jadi jika ada pihak-pihak tertentu yang mengatakan kami masih ingin mematuhi akta dan peraturan di bawah PKP 4, maka ianya salah di sisi undang-undang.
That was Defence Minister Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob. Now, joining us on the line to discuss the heightened tensions in federal and state relations, we have Tricia Yeo, fellow at the think tank Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or better known as IDEAS. Good evening, Tricia.
Hi, Melissa.
What do you make of the differing responses by state governments to the CMCO and also of Putrajaya's move to reassert its authority, as noted in Ismail Sabri's comment just now?
Thanks, Melissa, and thanks for having me on tonight. I think it's a very interesting turn of events. I think that, so the first thing is that there seems to be a little bit of confusion as to whether the state governments were consulted or not. And why that's important is because the issues that are in the Constitution, such as public health and sanitation and prevention of infection diseases, they actually fall under the concurrent list of the federal Constitution, meaning that both the federal and state governments are supposed to jointly make decisions on this. So you have different leaders saying different things, and you have had Dato' Ismail Sabri saying that the states, you know, it's up to the states whether they want to enforce the new conditional MCO or not. Khalid Nordin said that the state governments were not consulted. And of course, today you have Dato' Sri Azmin Ali saying that the state governments were consulted in a meeting which agreed for the economy to reopen on the 4th of May. So I think, you know, none of us were in that meeting, so none of us really knows what transpired and what does consultation really mean. In this instance, was it a decision that was unilaterally imposed by the federal government, or was there room and time and space given for the state governments to agree? And I think this is where there will be varying interpretations of what consultation means and what does compliance mean as well.
Tricia, you know, are you surprised by the fact that for the states that have, as it were, defied Putrajaya by saying it's got its own timeline, that don't consist solely of Pakatan Harapan-led states, but also Perikatan Nasional states? How do you account for that?
I think it's really also interesting that we have not seen this before, where you have Perikatan Nasional states openly defying the Perikatan Nasional federal government's instructions. So you would expect that of the opposition states, but not of the PN states. And I think this is symptomatic of several things happening at the same time. So one, if you look at the states that actually have disagreed with federal government that are under PN, they are states that do not necessarily depend on Parti Bersatu within those states. So Kelantan obviously is, you know, dominated by PAS. The state of Pahang is dominated by UMNO, and Sarawak, of course, is not a PN state per se. It's symptomatic of the political feuding that is also taking place within the coalition. And you know, you've already seen several other cracks where UMNO leaders have thrown, you know, brickbats at other Bersatu leaders. So I think it's a bigger problem that the Prime Minister and the PN government will have to deal with as well. Basically, political infighting, and this also tells you a story of perhaps the instability of states and federal government.
Tricia, can I get your thoughts on what you make of this in terms of a development in federalism in Malaysia? I mean, it's a very interesting time if you were to kind of look at what that means in terms of state and federal relations.
I think it's a fascinating time. I think for the first time, the states are actually exercising their rights over administrative autonomy that perhaps they were never needing to do in the past. If you remember prior to 2008, I mean, the federal government and all states came under the Barisan Nasional. And it's only after 2008, and perhaps even more so after 2018, that the states themselves, the leadership, the civil service, has had to think through the issues of federalism. And of course, we have to remember that Malaysia was formed as a federation. And perhaps in the past, people were not even bothering to look at the federal constitution's 9th schedule, you know, what's within the federal list, state list, and concurrent list. Of course, there will be different interpretations of this. And one view is that Article 81 of the constitution actually says that any law, that the states are to comply with federal law so as to not, you know, impede or prejudice the executive authority of the federal government. In this case, this is what the federal government is arguing. But however, we still need to look at, you know, what rights the states do have, and, you know, is the consultation legally required for? And does the consultation, you know, to extend further, does the consultation require, for instance, you know, having a the entire state legislative assembly pass a certain law or bylaw or state legislation that will adhere to the federal government law? So these are constitutional matters that I don't think have been agreed upon. In the past, there have also been conflicting views, and this is why, I mean, this is why the courts exist, right? So this is something that was implied by Dato Sri Azmin Ali as well, where he said at the end of his statement that if the state still refused to comply, I mean, there was a sort of a mild threat there that businesses will actually sue the state government.
Tricia, if we could turn our attention to Johor, it was an interesting case because they started off with some reservations about the shift to the CMCO, but then have now said they will comply with the federal government's directives. But they were, as it were, on the back foot when, in March 16th, Muhyiddin announced that there was going to be the lockdown. So many people across that very, very busy border were going to be affected. And Johor did not really have time to prepare for this. Again, we have the situation where it's a very quick turnaround that the federal government seems to want. Do you think that part of the problem seems to be that the federal government is not giving states enough time to work out the kinks in the SOPs?
Yes, for sure. So, you know, going back to this supposed consultation meeting that took place, I mean, yes, I think the consultation meeting took place on the 28th of April, but perhaps the decision itself was not made until much later. And so you're absolutely right that the turnaround has been very quick. I don't think that what the state governments are saying is that they don't want, you know, the economy to be reopened altogether at all. I mean, they do know the consequences of this, and we have been talking about, you know, the consequences on SMEs and how companies are effectively going to shut down if they're not allowed to operate for a much longer time. So there is an agreement that reopening the economy is important, but I think what the disagreement is on the speed at which the announcement was made. You know, it's just really, what, 3 days before, and that too over the weekend. The states need to have time to think through how they're going to manage the situation within their respective states. And not to mention the other factor, which is that there's a third tier of government here. The local councils are actually very important. The Local Government Act, in fact, gives the local councils throughout the country, you know, the right to regulate, and they are the ones that give permits and licenses to businesses. And, of course, the local governments come under the purview of the state government. So, in effect, the state does have some say in this matter. But, again, because the MCO or even the CMCO is regulated by an act, that as a federal act, it's again a legal interpretation. But I just want to clarify also that there is this third tier of government that people should not forget.
Mm. All right. Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us. Always a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for sharing those great insights. We're going to take a quick break, and after this, we'll look at the situation in Selangor, which announced a different conditional MCO for the state. Stay tuned to consider this.